Hi, lovely Enlightened Alliances. It's Shauna here, and I'm excited to share this episode. And before I get into it, I just wanted to introduce you to the conversation. Well, one, the first thing to point out is you'll notice that my guest has Laura Joseph, who is a psychic, an intuitive, a healer, a speaker, a teacher. She has technical difficulties. Her audio quality gets glitchy in a couple of spots, and especially towards the end. And you'll notice that, but it's worth listening to. So I just wanted to kind of let you know, I know, and give you the heads up, and hopefully it won't be too disruptive, but I think you'll get a lot out of the conversation. And then second, to introduce you to the why. So for the longest time, I've actually been in this interesting, like, weird place. I'm not sure if you've been feeling it, but this place of knowing that there's something coming. And for me, it really became clear back in November. And I had said to a couple of people, my close friends and my partner, that I was feeling a sense of the Grim Reaper. And what I said was, it felt to me as though it was coming in threes, which is not uncommon. So that in and of itself wasn't weird that I said it. But I did say that it's not normal. Like, it was this knowing that this was death knocking at the door, but it wasn't something that I could predict. I did say that one of them was related to my stepfather, but I was afraid to even say that. And then come to find out a couple weeks after I'd announced it, my stepbrother passed away. And then a couple months later, and I said, oh, that's one. And so then a couple months later, my aunt passed away. And I actually remember having a moment. I was like, there's two. And then I had said the third is something I'm not familiar with, as I mentioned before, but it's something that's really big. I just can't put my finger on it, but I feel like there's going to be suffering. Like, it was a knowing that we were all going to be affected by it, but no one knew. I mean, maybe some people didn't, but I couldn't have said, like, oh, there's going to be a pandemic. But I knew something was coming. And as soon as this hit us in the States, at least, not before then, but when it hit us in the States, everything popped for me. It was a big relief, as if a bubble burst. And I actually, instead of feeling, well, I did feel exhausted by it. That was an initial response. I was so tired, so exhausted energetically, and I slept for 3 days. But also, I felt go time. It was as if something turned on inside of me and was like, oh, this is it. This is the moment you came into this life for. Everything that I have ever been through has trained me and prepared me for what I'm doing now and how I'm supporting people, because I'm realizing this. Actually, you know what? I'm going to create a whole nother podcast episode with myself talking about these times, because I feel it's that important to give it its own episode. But I really feel that there's going to be people who are going to be struggling more so than others. And then also we need to really consider what we're doing differently moving forward from here. Because I'll tell you what, if we look around and we see how all of the systems that aren't working for us during this crisis, if we know that they have problems, we know that they're not only glitchy, but they actually have systemic failures, right? There's deep failures, and it's not something we can patch up and carry on with. And in our personal lives, we'll also know this too. But the opportunity to really heal and move forward is palpable. Like, there's this never like before opportunity to transform in this time. So I wanted to share my thoughts and my experience with you. I will create another episode for that alone. And I wanted to prepare you for this episode with, as I mentioned, Laura Joseph, who is going to be talking about her view on the energetics behind this experience, and also as it ties to our history, a collective history. I think you're gonna really enjoy this perspective. Again, please pardon the glitchiness, as it will get kind of hard to hear at a couple spots. And yeah, let me know what you think. I'm really curious to hear. And as a matter of fact, more than curious to hear your thoughts, I will bring Laura back on for a live recording through my social media channels. If people start to engage me on this topic and want to hear more, if you have questions, you can reach out at shaunapelton@gmail.com, or you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/ Shauna J. Pelton. And then you can also find me on Instagram at Enlightened One, and the spelling of that will be in the show notes. So without further ado, let this podcast episode begin. And again, you'll find all of Laura's information as well in the show notes. So if you want contact information, if you want to learn more, you'll find that information there. Thanks, guys. I hope you enjoy it. So now with that said, now I kind of prepped the field. Now Laura knows why I invited her here. Everybody knows what I was feeling and didn't want to say and had confusion about. Laura, can you share with us what, if anything, you're sensing around this time and what kind of insights that you have to share with the viewers about this time?
Well, first, I probably want to say is that as a trauma survivor and as a trauma specialist, we have an unrecognized epidemic of unresolved trauma in this country. And what typically happens is that when things surface, that if it's not ours, or it might be generational, or it might even be karmic or past life, that when it surfaces, we just go, I already dealt with that. I don't want to deal with that. And in an indirect way, and I get it, that's a very kind of natural human response. It's actually a very American response. Because I'm finding actually a link between shame, trauma, not willing to deal with our stuff. I actually have a class called Today I Bless My Junk, because it's all about going into those shadows and how do we see them as a gift, not as a like, oh my God, this happened to me.
Right.
Okay. And how do we transform that into an empowerment tool versus a disempowerment tool? And, you know, it all stems from a colonized mindset. We forget that the lands that we reside on right now, I actually reside on Massachusetts land. And that's where the ancestors and the caretakers and the original stewards of this land is where I reside right now. And those indigenous were actually slaughtered. Okay, yes. A lot of them were slaughtered by those that were colonizing, okay? And that momentum actually hasn't changed.
I felt that so strong.
It's very strong. So what I have seen happen has happened in waves over the last 10 years. And the biggest wave, the biggest eruption that I've seen shift happened August of 2017, I believe, if I had the right year, was when we had the solar eclipse. And yes, that really, especially us as Americans, because that came over to the United States, is where it peaked. And that kind of unleashed or poked holes in the links between the past, present, future, the links to the ancestors more frequently, especially those, I'm talking those that aren't tapped in, or that we have gotten so much into the egoic mind.
Right.
And how do we build a family? How do we, you know, the white picket fence, and this is what I'm supposed to look like. This right. is what I'm supposed to buy. This is the clothes I'm supposed to wear. And it's all external, colonized advertising mentality,
yes.
commercialism, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes. And
where's the Maya, as I've told my community, it's this illusion that we live in this matrix that we bought into, and it's not going to work for us from now on.
So what I saw happen is that people started coming to me with weird illnesses or weird stuff happening in their physical body that the medical community, because I'm also a bridge. Because I work in a healthcare office, and I'm a bridge between Western medicine and what I call the woo-woo. So I do a lot of patient advocacy for my clients. So because I'm all about to getting the right diagnosis, so we know how to even spiritually treat. So there's a whole link here. So, but what I started seeing was links between certain people's illnesses and diseases to spiritual or karmic or generational events that whether they were aware of or not aware of. And that started, again, like I started seeing that happen, especially around the solar eclipse in 2017. And it just escalated. And even this morning, I was reviewing some things after doing a live meditation. And what I started seeing happening was in that I was reading it. And I wrote something in there regarding 2018 with a lot of videos of me posting that there's a disruption. The energies are building to the point there's going to be a huge disrupt to our paradigm. And we have to prepare for this. Well, some of us did, but the majority did not. Okay, because this is where spiritual bypassing comes in.
Yeah. All right. Explain spiritual bypass for those of us who are listening who perhaps are new to that concept.
So that concept is a lot to probably digest. But it's like, for instance, probably the best thing is to give you an example. I was raised Catholic. So because I was raised Catholic, I would go to church every Sunday. I would celebrate the Catholic holidays. But then I would go home, and if I'm a man, I would go home, beat my wife, and beat my children, okay? Well, that's spiritually bypassing, okay? So you can't be a good Catholic if you're going home and beating your wife. I can give you an example. I had a client this week I worked with that's a military vet, I'm trying to share without too much. But, you know, this person has a history of, like, PTSD, which is not uncommon with military. And so what she experienced, what she was saying to me was, well, you know, I practice all these Buddhist rituals and this is what I'm doing. But then what was happening was they were going home and they were judging or they were using certain language and saying, well, what I was doing was putting it in a box. And what I was explaining to them, I go, it's the language. This is how the subconscious works. It's actually a form of spiritual bypassing. And it happens a lot of times without our awareness. And I said, the fact that you're saying, let's put it into a box, I said, it is in a way of spiritual bypassing. I guess, let's change that language.
Right.
You change even something as simple as that language. And they go, aha. And they go, that's not really what I meant. I go, but in a way it was, because that's something within you, within your own vibration, wants to identify putting those things into a box. Even though you may know up here that that's like crazy, that's not what you're thinking. It doesn't mean that it's not in the cellular DNA and in the tissue. So that's where it's knowing, is that bypassing coming from a mental place, emotional place, a spiritual place, or a physical place? Mm-hmm. And knowing how to confront it so we can, transform it and move past it. So I sometimes suggest it's about befriending the stuff that's in the shadows, not running away from it. I correlate it a lot to, like, back in the old days when we take things and go, well, I really like it, but I don't really know where to put it right now. So you shove it into a closet.
Yeah.
Well, you keep doing that. And you look at the closet and you go, ugh, I don't even want to go in there anymore. I just too much stuff in there.
Yeah.
Right. And then eventually you open the door and stuff just falls out and you go, ugh, and you keep wanting to shove the door closed. Right. Well, this is spiritually bypassing. Instead of saying, okay, let's open the door. Let's see what belongs in there. What do I need to get rid of? What do I need to find? I didn't know. You know what? This, I want to put this next to my nightstand, right? Or I want to put this over here, okay? Or you know what? So-and-so might like this, and I'll gift it over there. Well, next thing you know, you've got a closet that's like, and you go, oh, boy. But in the beginning, you go, I really don't want to go there. I don't want to organize. I don't want to look at stuff. I just want to shove the door and pretend it doesn't exist.
And when you see that spiritual bypass behavior, the way that I look at that is, what's that?
By the way, we all do it.
Exactly. We all do it. Exactly. No one's, but that's such a good point. Like, no one's pretending to be holier than thou in this space. So it's, when you see that spiritual bypassing behavior, do you recognize it coming from just simply habits of behavior from built up from maladaptive behavior that is from conditioning, and or, now this is me, and this is what I see, and I'm curious what you see, lineage-based patterns that are passed on and essentially just repeating through this individual, but getting to a point, like I said, like I couldn't hold it in, right? You get to a point where that closet opens, all your stuff comes out, and it's like, oh, there it all is. And now I have this in front of me to look at and to work with. Oh, this is great. Now I can see.
Yes. Yeah. It's funny because like you mentioned the Grim Reaper, and when I helped volunteer at one of the domestic violence conferences a couple of years ago, and somebody put together this video to explain trauma. Mm-hmm. And it was brilliantly done because it did like how, like, you know, an Adam and Eve type scenario where she's like, you know, in this Garden of Eden, and then just basically stuff happens. Mm-hmm. And then when they want to leave or change or move, they're faced with almost like a faceless, almost Grim Reaper type figure. But in order to get through the door, they have to go through that Grim Reaper. And the fear comes in, the triggers come in, and you go, oh my God, I can't do this. And the minute you look at the face of the Grim Reaper and you finally identify the face and you befriend, by the way, the shadows, mm-hmm. okay? You make the shadows your friend. You bring it into the light. Then it shows this woman going through the door in the cave and out the other side. And it no longer controls that individual. And I think that's where we're at. I keep hearing words like isolation, quarantine, stay at home, you know, don't go out. And I keep hearing cocooning. And I have been using cocooning and transformation in almost everything I've been writing and almost every video I've been doing for at least 2 or 3 years, building up to this point. There are many of us that have foreseen this. I didn't talk about this aspect for the same reason why you didn't, because I didn't want to create mass hysteria. And I'm also understand my role and also ethical responsibility to not create things, because manifestation is real. Okay. And I say this even when I do psychic readings. I said I'm very careful how I convey a message, because there's a psychic element of manifestation the minute the words come out. So I did say what I foresee. I used to say it in very closed circles that I said that war is coming on our soil.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's going to be bigger than 9/11. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know the method that it was going to be happening. And the fact that whether you like the president or not, he actually used that terminology. Okay. So.
So now this cocooning thing, this experience of cocooning, speak to that a little bit in terms of how it is a mindset shift from being isolated and quarantined, because it feels different. So why don't we look at that for a second? Let's explain how someone can shift their way of seeing their isolation into a cocooning phase.
Absolutely. And if people, by the way, want more information, I have multiple blogs that are talking about this aspect on my website, or in videos on YouTube as well. So cocooning, what I've been saying is happening, I said, everybody wants to be the butterfly, right? Yeah. Everybody talks about, oh, this beautiful butterfly and how I want to be here, right? But the thing is, in the reality, when you're actually in the cocoon, transforming into that butterfly, you're going, but I'm losing the caterpillar. But you create attachment. You create attachment to everything that's associated with the caterpillar, right? And this is what the mind does. And it goes, but I like to be in the caterpillar. Well, you can't be the caterpillar and the butterfly at the same time. You have to let go of the identity of all that is associated with the caterpillar in order to become the butterfly. So when the caterpillar begins to cocoon, right, what does it do? First of all, it's isolated. It's by itself. It's in the darkness, in the shadows. It's getting yucky. It's getting painful. The physical body is actually contorting and shifting and moving and creating all this physical dissonance, okay? Which I can't imagine, you know, I don't know because I'm not a butterfly, but I can't imagine that not being painful, okay? You're right. Growing wounds and you're getting rid of certain aspects of your body.
Well, they even say that it literally dissolves into mush. If you were to open it up in the mid-phase, there would be nothing but jelly because it is completely dissolved its old self, its old identity, in order to become.
Right, and I think where we're at as the analogy is that everybody wants to be the butterfly, but they're not willing to let go of the caterpillar.
Yeah, this is my conversation.
You know? And it's you have to be, but you can't. And this is a either or. This isn't a gray area.
Yeah.
And I think that's where people are struggling, is that if it affects the marriage, it affects the job, it affects the egoic side without faith and trust. So we've gotten so disconnected from our soul, from our being, from the very things of who we are. And a lot of us have been hearing, those who are tapped in have noticed, the earth has been talking louder and louder. The trees have been talking louder and louder. The water has been speaking louder and louder. The ancestral wisdom has been speaking louder and louder. When I was at Blue Hills a week ago, and I'm walking in this space, and I already knew it was sacred lands of the Massachusetts anyway. And it's very big and vast, but I went to this one area. Something told me to stop. And I'm actually curious historically to know if this is an actual spot where they did ceremony in this location, because something told me to stop. And right in the middle of the path, I started picking up down pine needle branches and creating a circle. And in the middle, what I put was pine cone seeds to seed surrounded with the sticks. So it was basically a circle or a mandala, but very simple. And I just kept hearing, do this, because even the people who walk this path, they won't see, they'll still be affected by it. Okay? So it was very simple, but this is what I heard, because I asked the Massachusetts at the time, I asked for permission. By the way, if you work with the ancestral land, it's very important to always ask permission before you do, because an American mindset is we just take, we just do, we don't ask permission. We have gotten very selfish in our lack of asking permission. Mm. And it's very important that in order for us to honor and respect traditions, that we also ask for permission in everything that we do.
Give me an example of that asking, because I didn't hear the word before. Asking permission for what?
Asking for permission for anything that we do that's sacred.
And it sacred can be work. Even, sure.
Right. So even like when I'm in community, because a lot of times there's vulnerable people there, like you don't even hug them unless you say, like, is it okay if I give you a hug?
Right.
Okay. Because you're asking for permission. When I'm out in nature and I want to tap into the ancestors of the land, I better know which ancestors were the original stewards of the land first, and then ask and say, look, you know, I'm asking for permission to be here. I'm asking for the ancestral wisdom. I'm asking for some ancestral healing. Please guide me. You know, please show me. You know, and I'm honoring. And then you back it up with respectful action. I see too much stuff happening in the spiritual community that I can't tell you is a trigger for me right now. What I like to call is the bastardization and the commercialization of sacred practices. But not from a sacred commerce standpoint, as I've heard some people use the terminology. It's coming from I got to create a business out of this. Mm-hmm. And it's backed with a colonized mindset, a lack of understanding of sacred permissions and cultural appropriations and integrity. And a lot of us don't even know we're doing it because, again, it comes from a colonized mindset. This is what the COVID is forcing us to do.
Wow.
A lot of us have been forcing us, you know, I see a lot of beautiful people and they go, but they're too afraid to address some of their stuff. So now that some of them are isolated, not just with their family, they're isolated by themselves in their own environment. So they're forced to deal with their junk.
Yes.
They're forced to look at their junk. And
you can't wait until someday when the time is right. Guess what? Today is that someday, folks.
And a lot of us have been forecasting that.
Yes. Exactly. And so now we have what I think is a wonderful thing, and that is disruption.
Yes.
We are disrupted from our old normal ways. And I'm fascinated by just observing how people are responding to this. I'm watching a few different scenarios. One is don't miss a beat, just pick up and go. So it's like some of the corporate clients that I work with and are in my people who are in my life. It's like, you know, if their job said on Thursday that they needed to work from home on Friday, they just picked up and went on and carried on like business as normal, except adjusting a few things as people acclimate along the way. But I was like, oh, that's fascinating. No one's pausing.
Yes, it's actually a form of distraction. It's a tactic that I see a lot because I work with a lot of trauma survivors, and when they're triggered, what happens is they look for distraction. So sometimes they'll even build addictions. And like I challenged another client this week that they were, in their mindset was they got to protect the family. So they were doing all this research about COVID and how to create safeguards.
Right.
And I said, you're building an addiction to avoid dealing with your stuff.
Yeah. And that comes from the protective part that was like, okay, this is how I'm going to keep safe from trauma. And they become really adept at it.
Absolutely. But here's the difference. Like in this scenario, they've done enough work that I just needed to be the catalyst to show them. And they were like, oh yeah, you know what? You're right. And I said, well, then if you're going to use an addiction as your tool, use your addiction to go inward. Use your OCD to go inward.
Yes.
So that just do a pivotal shift. So if you're going to, you know, let's substitute something for a healthier way of what spirit in our soul has been calling us. And there's nothing to fear but fear itself. And what my biggest fear, really, if you want to go there, is that we're exacerbating and amplifying, because if we've got a society filled with fear and anxiety and anger, which is rampant right now, like, again, I do a lot of trauma work, so there's a lot of worry about the lack of funding and ability to help. We know there's going to be a surge in domestic violence.
Right.
So, how do we work through that? So, we just need to get back. And the thing is that you need to be able to look at the triggers for what's triggering that. You can't avoid it and lash out. If you're lashing out, then that's your responsibility, not the person that triggered you. And I think this is the challenge. If somebody's triggering you or if an incident is triggering you, you can't blame them. If it's triggering you, then it's up to you and us as our responsibility to manage our reactions and go in there and see, well, if it's triggering me, then why is it triggering me? And then what can I do to shift that vibration to a healthier one?
Right.
You know, but the distraction is big.
Yeah. The other extreme scenario that I'm seeing a lot of is, paralyzed by fear, feeling terror of the unknown, uncertain times makes people feel that loss of control. And so, for some people who, like you said, I also work with, I have trauma-informed training and have, because of my own, like yourself, worked through my own trauma, feel better able and equipped to support people through theirs. And see that trauma being played out in various different ways. But for those who are spiraling because of perhaps the unstable emotions and the inability to be focused mentally, that's also an interesting thing. What would you say to someone if that's their situation? How would you help them shift?
Well, I've learned, because I've also seen a surge of people who used to meditate very well that are struggling even with meditation. Mm-hmm. And I see that as a fight or flight response. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I've even had to do myself, and this is not medical advice, I'm just putting that out there. This is my ritual, and I do have an article on it on my website and the blog if they want to know more. But I upped my dose, and I started retaking ashwagandha root. And ashwagandha root is an adaptogen that works very well. And this is how I know if it's anxiety or if it's a PTSD trigger, fight or flight scenario. Because if it works, it's got a short acting. So if it works, then my nerves and everything, my fight or flight symptoms diminish. So
great. Yeah.
Ashwagandha works on the adrenal gland. So it calms that, what you're describing as a fight or flight freeze scenario. And, you know, again, like we could look at distraction as a flee scenario, right? Mm-hmm. A inability to do meditation as a freeze scenario. So there's all kinds of ways. But the thing is, what I sometimes do is I say, look, it's not to take on saying, okay, this is a trauma trigger. And then your mind goes down that. It's to bring the awareness and say, okay, now stop beating yourself up. It's a trigger. Let's just work through this because it's not your fault.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's temporary. You won't stay stuck here. It might feel that way because it's as if it freezes in time. And like, that's all you can focus on is how unwell you feel in that moment.
So the ashwagandha root, I find that helps me. The other component is that those that are struggling with the yoga piece or the meditation piece, is I like to bring them back. I do a lot of work with working just with presence. Bringing you back to presence, getting you into the, like, there's a lot of, like, in psychotherapy, there's a lot of, like, they call them sensory exercises. It's reorienting yourself from a sensory standpoint. And then what you're doing when you're getting and tackling your senses, your mind can't be going into the worry. It can't be into the past and the fear mode because you're actually creating and being present. And when you're present, the cortisol, the fear, the anxiety actually dissipates. Mm-hmm. So for those who I feel like, and it can be something as simple as if they're making dinner and all you're going to do is, like, if you're making dinner, you're focusing on, and you even have to say this, this may sound crazy, like, but say the stuff out loud, like, I am putting the cheese on here. Yes. I am putting the ingredients and maybe even honoring where the ingredients come from. Okay. Yeah. This is when the opportunity comes in. And let's start supporting local farms instead of farms in China. That's really, let's just go there too. Okay. So, like, this is the whole thing where the opportunities can be endless, because here's an opportunity to support our neighbors and our local farms where we know the ingredients in the soil aren't going to be contaminated.
Yeah.
Okay. And the food's going to be fresher. So we can know that if we know where the food comes from, then we can actually bring that energy in there. And believe it or not, you actually might notice a difference in the energy after you eat that food versus the other way around.
Good point. You're
actually going to be picking up the traumatized animal or the food that's been chemicalized, and you're actually energetically, you're going to feel that.
I have been hyper conscious of that. Well, I've been, as my background in natural medicine and holistic healing, I kind of had that information a long time ago, but I've been hyper aware of how important it is right now to stay with high vibe foods. Like yesterday, I was thinking how intentional my food choices have been, as well as my supplement choices, which, you know, I go in and out of phases with my relationship with supplements based on whatever stage or, you know, whatever I'm going through. But I'm like, oh, it's on. It's like all hands on deck. Everything that I know that I'll need to support every aspect of my being right now, my mental health, my energetic health, my physical strength and resiliency and my emotional stability and my sleep, all of these things I'm being mindful of, and I'm just considering what I'm putting in my body, how I'm treating my, how I'm treating myself if I don't get, like, for example, the house cleaned. I'm like, I should be cleaning my house. No, don't have this conversation. You know, it's like being mindful of those things. I actually have an idea that, well, this is like something I'm foreseeing, and it is about the three stages or phases of how this will unfold itself, and what are some things that we can do to mitigate damage and also optimize the experience along each stage. So I wanted to share it with you and ask what your thoughts are and what your intuition says about this, and maybe even add to it if you think that you see something else. The first phase is what we're in. We're in the situation, and that means there's chaos. And when there's chaos, the risk here, one of them is on the body. So it's the fight or flight, freeze or appease response. So you just pointed to that. And we just talked about some ways to mitigate the damage to that. So that feels good. But the other thing that chaos causes is a disruption in the vibrational wave. So for people who are listening, I'll just kind of give a brief explanation of this through a visual. So if you can imagine a clear body of water and everything's perfectly crystal clear, and you're able to see through that water to what, you know, to look at what's underneath the surface. But when there's a storm, there's chaos and the water gets disrupted and it's very difficult. The dirt gets kicked up and you can't really see and it's low visibility. And so as a result, we don't trust what's in the water. So we might resist taking action, or we might kind of doubt ourselves. And it's like, well, I think I know what's under there, but I might be wrong. And so as a result, we avoid sometimes that. So that's a risk. The other thing about chaos is how it actually disrupts the energy body, the vibrational electromagnetic body, and it's easier for, now this is going to be a concept that might, some people might not know about or understand fully, so I'm going to invite you to just discern for yourself what feels true for you and maybe explore with curiosity. But the idea that dark forces can influence us when we are in a state of fear much more easily than when we are in our empowered, clear, calm, centered self. And yep. So the risk there is letting people or organizations control us, to herd us in the direction they want us to go, because we risk falling back into that, like, that matrix again of being a part of the system.
So you just hit a couple points. One, like with the water, I like to use the analogy of a fish tank. When you go to clean a fish tank, the water actually looks very clear. And then when you start cleaning up the fish tank and clean it all, the fish poop and everything else, okay, as well. By the time you're done, the fish tank actually looks dirtier than it was when it was dirty, okay? And so that's one. And two, like, yeah, I've been speaking a lot about what you just said in that last point, and that all goes to I've been doing a lot of work around decolonization. That was my thing for last year, and this year has been my theme to, as a white woman, and trying to understand the whole colonized mindset. It is hugely important to how do I use my white privilege in a way that's conducive and healthy for all people. And also, since most people, unfortunately, are going to hear me because I do have white skin versus if I was somebody of brown skin, which is very sad dynamic, but it's very characteristic of what we see with a colonized mindset. And I talk a lot about in the Bless Your Junk class of how we have gotten conditioned to turn our power over voluntarily, by the way, to our schools, to our doctors, to, you know, our society, to the government, to our spouses. I mean, if we even look at the terminology of marriage, you know, people get so excited about marriage. If people really knew what marriage in its roots were about, it was about basically family giving a dowry as payment to a man to buy basically their daughter as property. So that was really the whole point of what marriage is.
Which, speaking of dark things that are underneath the surface that we didn't realize, do you know that in many of our states, in this country alone, never mind the rest of the globe, still allows for that a man can marry a young girl as young as 12 or 13 in some states? As long as parents say it, it's okay.
And not only that, if that 12 or 13-year-old is raped,
yes,
in those same states, yes, that they can be thrown in jail for having an abortion. And what the latest trend is, that these abusers and rapists are seeking custody and an order on these 12 and 13-year-old women to pay them. So it's basically their way of trying to earn, like, basically discarding the babies and they're molesting them. So it's perpetuating the cycle of abuse.
Yes.
So what we're experiencing is a global wake up and spiritual awakening like we haven't seen in over 1,000 years.
Absolutely. Which goes to my second phase, which is the aftermath, Once, like, that, you know, you're cleaning up the you're in the fishbowl analogy, and you're seeing all the dirt, and the dirt starts to settle, but you see the aftermath of the damage. You have to assess. And what I believe is happening is we're seeing all of the systems that are collapsing that don't work. And if, like, the medical system, we do not have a healthy medical system. We are not a healthy country as it relates to, you know, how other people are taking care of their citizens. We are certainly not even close to being top of that list. This is just our country, but the world has to look at their system failures, how the government is where it's not working. So in the assessment phase, also the school systems, the education systems, you know, all these things that we just talked about, you talked about, like, being controlled by an abuser, someone who violates another human and their rights to control them. You know, all of these things I see as errors that are not able to make it into the new paradigm. And so what the assessment phase is grieving the loss, grieving the pain and the disruption and seeing it for what it is, which is sad, and it's going to be heavy, and there's going to be a need for you know, handling the trauma from the aftermath, but also take action so to rebuild, not the same way. We cannot take the stuff with us where we're going.
This is where the opportunity is.
Yes.
This is the opportunity that we have. This is the gift. But if we are so stuck in worry, like, I, you know, I'm an approved teacher out of Kyoto, Japan. And, you know, I've got a pending book called The Secrets to Healing, How to Use the Gokai to Healing Chronic Illness and Trauma. And there's five simple sentences that took me 10 years to really understand the magic and the spiritual medicine because of the conditioning of our mindset in the United States. It's really a cultural phenomena of how we are, oh boy, I'm running out. My battery's running low, just so you know.
Okay. If it drops off, you can.
Yeah,
you can.
Just so you know. But it's five simple sentences, and in Japanese, it's Kyodaki wa ikaru na shinpai suna kancha se gyo hagame ito ni shinsetsu, which basically states, just for right now, I'm going to stay present. They understood that anger and worry were the parts that lowered frequency, lowered vibration, opened yourself up to illness and disease and unhappiness. And the next component is gratitude. That's what you invite in when you're walking in a state of gratitude for no other reason, by the way. Like, not that I'm grateful for the roof on my head and my spouse and my kids. No, it brings me to the mindset of, like, Wayne Dyer with his videos. Like, before he put his feet on the floor, he was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. So it was for the sake of being grateful, for the sake of being grateful. And that was actually a concept that was really hard for me to understand because of the trauma piece. Like, how can I be grateful because of this, right?
Yeah.
So these are really hard concepts for me to understand. And I'm just prefacing that because I get it with those that might be on this, hearing this, and seeing this. And the fourth one, which is also one that people avoid, which is to do your duties fully. Meaning, like, if you're going to be cooking, your attention is 100% on cooking. If you're cleaning your toilet, you're doing that 100%, not thinking of anything else. You're doing that 100%. If you're working with clients and helping them deal with their shit, you're doing that 100%, not thinking about how much money and everything else is going on in your head. So it's bringing it to 100%, doing your duties fully. And the fifth one, which seems obvious, but you really can't get there if you haven't worked on the others, which is to be kind to others. Mm. How can you really be kind if you're not living a life full of gratitude, if you're stuck in worry all the time, and you're stuck in anger? You know, by the way, the Japanese have two words for anger. Not one. So they have ikaru na and okuru na. Okuru na is the kind of anger, like, you know, I'm driving out of the parking lot of the grocery store and somebody's having a bad day and they cut me off and you go, motherfucker, you know? And then you go on your merry day. You don't let it fester. It's like that temporary thing. It moves on its own. It's okuru na. Ikaru na is the kind of anger, like, you know, kind of give you an analogy, like, somebody walks in the door, you go, oh, okay, I don't know what's up with that person. You have to open up their mouth, and I can just feel whatever's in their body coming out of their pores. Okay? It's literally riddled in their cellular DNA. It's an anger that's actually festering. And these people, a lot of times, without even knowing. And they could have a very pleasant deposition, by the way. They don't have to be an asshole or a nasty person, but they could have a lot of resentment, which falls in the anger category. They could have a lot of fear, which goes in the anger category, okay, as well as worry. So that's the kind of anger. Those are things that bring us to illness and disease.
Yeah.
These are things that are giving us an opportunity to work on our stuff so we can, as a collective, like in the movie Avatar,
yes.
You know?
I believed in that. When I saw Avatar, I was like, oh my God, this is real. Like, does anyone know this? This is really what's happening. We are in these bodies that are not our bodies. Our consciousness is streamed. We communicate with this earth. Like, I felt like I was like, someone took what was going on inside my head and put it on the big screen.
Yeah, there's a lot of ancestral wisdom in that movie. So
truly.
For those of you who feel like they want to watch a flick to kind of get a Hollywood version of what we're talking about. Actually, that's probably a good movie to watch to get a good glimpse of what we're experiencing right here, right now. To rewatch that movie.
Oh, the Avatar?
Yeah.
And the Matrix, I think, too. So you actually pointed at my phase three, which is like when we rebuild, it's like, what's this mindset? So you just gave, I love that. And that, I feel like I've learned that. So I know you teach Jikiden Reiki. I've studied Jikiden. I'm also a practitioner of Jikiden Reiki. Did I learn that in class? Was that?
You should have.
Yeah, then I did. That's where I learned it then. I'm like, why do I know that? It felt very familiar to me. I'm actually going to refer to my notes and actually hang that because I want to be reminded of those principles to live from that place on a daily basis. And so that's it. That's like rebuilding so that we don't go back to what's not working and we can stay in alignment with that avatar from, you know, our higher self, our higher divine self. And that's actually... I have been doing a lot of studying about the era 3 medicine. Larry Doocy coined that term, I think back in the 70s or 80s maybe. And he's a physician, well-esteemed in the medical community. And he talked about how important it is to understand we have to tap into that higher aspect of ourself, that higher dimensional being, and allow that part of us to actually come on board and allow that part of us to navigate this world through us, from us, as us. And so from that vibrational level of consciousness that is bigger than these problems that we see, bigger than the entities, the dark forces, the things that are causing chaos, as well as our pains and problems in our everyday life. And so that's how we are going to create, you know, this paradigm shift. That's heaven on earth when everybody learns how to get out of all of those skeletons in our closet that we talked about, all of those maladaptive behaviors that we all accumulated from our own traumas, as well as what was passed on to us. And there's another conversation I've been studying about DNA and how memory is stored in DNA. And oh my God, does it go deep? And so it's a time for purification. Truly, we are clearing the field. We are truly transmuting the dark negative, and even if we don't look at it as dark or negative, just what's not working anymore, and up-leveling the programming so that we can actually shift this entire way of being. And that's why I'm so excited, because we have this opportunity, because yes. Chaotic times mean the opportunity to have more of a higher impact, a bigger voltage when we can all band together as one. And that's what I was getting. This is what I was clear on when this all went down, and I was like, boing, all of my, like everything that I was not clear on became so clear. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course, this is one rhythm, one voice. We're singing in unison, universe, one sound, one song. We have to beat to this drum, this new drum, this earth heartbeat is changing, and we have to match our heartbeat to hers. That's what I got.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And to realize that especially the last 10 years with cell phones and stuff, we've gotten very disconnected with others, never mind ourselves, and we've been forced to reconnect. And you know, I learned many years of my own healing that when you're forced into those dark places, you're forced to trust in the soul. You're forced to go there. And this is where we're at collectively. Like, you know, I have a teacher of mine, and everybody else says, relax, soul's got your back. You know, last year I was doing a lot of corporate events. These were people who worked on Wall Street. And the common theme I saw with a lot of the reading I did was, you don't have to work so hard to meet your sales quota. If you're coming from a place of soul in your intuition, let that guide you, you're going to hit it naturally without working harder. So it's really about shifting from a lower mindset and a colonized mindset to a more independent, soulful, spiritual mindset, which, by the way, the governments, I don't care which one, want us all have. They don't want us to be independent thinkers.
No, they don't.
Colonized.
Right, exactly, because it's easier to control. Whew. What else? What else is coming up? Oh, and then one more thing that was coming up for me was how important it is for each of us to do our part, to recognize that as unique individuals with our own experiences to draw on, the wisdom of our life will inform us what we can do moving forward to contribute to rebuilding this world better than we've found it. And so that concept, my part, what's my part in this?
And that has to be more than just using social media, by the way. I'm doing my part. Like, they're sharing things. And they'll know. Are you actually standing there on the front line of, like, for instance, Dapple, and putting yourself at risk of your breasted for the sake of saving the water supply and Mother Earth? And if you're not going to that level of that, then you're not actually doing your part. Are you actually volunteering at a crisis center? Are you actually volunteering at a food kitchen? Are you doing any of those things? This is beyond this. Well, I'm putting on social media and getting more. That's spiritual bypassing.
Oh, I shared a post.
What are you talking and doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good point. Yes, to think beyond what you've been doing and see where you can take new action and then share our actions so that, like, together, I think that the energy behind a collaborative movement makes that much of a bigger impact. So those were all my thoughts that I wrote out before I got on the call with you. I am so jazzed up. Is that even a word that people say anymore? I just brought it back.
Works for me. Thank you for having me on. You know, I really appreciate it. So I think my thoughts are about to die in a second.
Laura, this has been a pleasure. I'm so grateful that you took the time to share your thoughts and wisdom with us today. If somebody who's listening wants more information, where should we direct them?
I mean, there's my website, which is laurahealingthespirit.com. I am on LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. So you can find
Laura. LauraHealingWithSpirit.com on all of the common channels. So great. You can be easily found there. So, well, this, I'm sure that after I get off the call, I'm going to go, oh, and then there's this. I feel like this is going to be a discussion that will have a continuation so that we can carry it forward into the future. So we can, you know, just go to different facets, different depths and different dimensions with these concepts and then spread this message so that people can really get it in their psyches and in their, you know, hearts that, you know, this is a great time to be alive. And I'm not dismissing, this is not a spiritual bypass for your pain. I recognize the grief and the suffering that is also happening simultaneously. It is a both and moment. And so I choose to honor both, and I'm excited for the future, and I'm excited for what's ahead of us. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm also like nail biting about like, oh, there's gonna be a squeeze. There's gonna be a tight squeeze in the coming months and years ahead.
Well, yes. I mean, I'll just tell them with this is that a lot of the spiritual information I'm getting regarding the political situation around this is that for us collectively, is that we have to go back to what we're talking about, doing versus talking. For us to change this to a healthier society, it is a call to rise up people to actually step up and start doing versus talking about.
Can you say that again? Because your audio is fading out. Culturally rise up, did you say?
We need to culturally rise up and start doing versus talking and lashing out or making excuses or just using social media to just get it out. We actually have to start. Are you with front lines? Are you with social justice project? Are you involved in this? Is what we're being called. If we're going to change this, we have to rise up and do this part of the work collectively.
Amen. All right. Amen to that. I'm with you. And so, yeah. And so with that said, I would like to call out to those who are listening to us today. And if this is landing for you, there is no coincidence that you are here to hear this message and come join us. And, you know, Laura is, as I mentioned, she offers online work, and you know how to find me in the work that I do. We both complement one another in the ways that we support healing and transformation. And then beyond that, like, what can we do as leaders creatively? What can we do as enlightened alliances who can make little differences in our social circles and then ultimately spread our light, and make that our devotion to, you know, to dedicate our life to bringing Shambhala, to bringing heaven on earth, to shifting this the frequencies around us to up-level consciousness on the planet so everybody is free to live in alignment with their highest and greatest good. And so that's my agenda anyway. So if you're feeling in alignment with it, come find me, join the community. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your voice. So with that said, thank you everybody for your presence, your participation. Laura, it's been a pleasure. I'm so grateful to be connected with you, sister.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And with that said, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, and I look forward to the next Conscious Conversation on the Quantum Shift podcast. Have a great day, everybody. Happy cocooning.